All right. Now, the Holy Spirit is big enough, he can deal with every single situation that's of that kind here tonight. You can receive individual attention, not from Brother Prince, but from the Holy Spirit. Just take a moment to ponder on your life. Look back over it. Consider if it has the marks that I've described. All right, now we're going to say it, and you say it after me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that on the cross you were made a curse, that I might be redeemed from the curse and enter into the blessing. And because of what you did, tonight, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, I release myself from every curse over me and my family, and I claim the blessing that you purchased for me with your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give him a little praise, shall we? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Now that's the last of the barriers. There's one other thing you need to be aware of. When we come to pray for the sick, sometimes sicknesses are either caused by or associated with the presence of evil spirits. And the ministry of healing frequently includes the ministry of driving out evil spirits. It isn't done in some churches, but I'll tell you someone who does do it and did do it. Jesus. That's right. Let's look just at one example. I say this so that you come mentally prepared. Luke chapter 4. Luke, the fourth chapter. Verses 40 and 41. Luke 4, 40 and 41. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons or evil spirits also came out of many, crying out. Notice that associated with the ministry of laying on the hands of the sick for healing, there was the driving out of demons. Because when the supernatural power of God comes into operation, evil spirits just can't stand it any longer. They have to come out. Now, there are two different main ways in which evil spirits are associated with sickness. The first is they are direct causes of sickness. There are spirits of infirmity, of pain, of crippling, and of death, to name only four that we deal with commonly. For instance, many people who have some kind of spinal curvature or deformity of the spine that is caused by a crippling spirit, and for that person to receive full release, it is necessary for that crippling spirit to be driven out. Jesus encountered a woman who was bent double and couldn't stand up straight. He didn't treat it as a physical sickness. He said, this woman has been bound by a spirit of infirmity 18 years. He loosed her from the spirit and she immediately straightened up. We have dealt with all these many times. I don't think I can go into details now, except perhaps the spirit of death, which is very, very common. And the way this works is to cause a person to be infirm and weakly and ultimately to die untimely. And such a person somehow tends to have a morbid outlook on life. They'll tend to look on the dark side of things. They may tend to wear dark clothes. There's something morbid about them. I've had to say to several young ladies, I suggest you don't wear black any longer. You may think this is strange, but there's an association between the two. I'm not saying people should never wear black. There are just some people for whom it isn't altogether wise to wear black. Ruth and I probably have dealt with hundreds of cases of people who need deliverance from the spirit of death. And I think we're going to do something that I didn't plan. We've discovered, as always, the right thing to do is replace the negative by the positive. See, one way the spirit of death comes in is you get discouraged, disheartened, oppressed, and you say, I might as well be dead. I wish I were dead. What's the good of living? Well, when you say that, that's an invitation to the spirit of death. Come in. Take over. And it doesn't need many invitations. One of the most dangerous things a person can ever say is, I wish I were dead. Well, we're going to unsay that. We're going to give you an opportunity to revoke the negative things you've been saying about yourself. Psalm 118, verse 17. The psalmist says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's a positive decision. All right? You say that after me the first time, and we'll say it together until we make this place full of positive faith. Now, don't try to say it with me to start with, but after me. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now you've got good memories, you can say it with me this time. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I suggest you stand up and say it. There's something about being in a standing position. I'm not going to lie down under the devil. I'm not going to let him trample over my emotions and my attitudes. All right, the third time. Are you ready? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, it's wonderful to say it into the air and say it to me. I'd like to suggest that every one of you turns to somebody next to you, looks them full in the eyes, and says to them, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Let's make a proclamation of praise on the basis of that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Victory, victory, victory. Through the blood of the Lamb and through the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're so good. Now, feel free to be seated if you can. We're going to come to the actual ministry to the sick. There are many different scriptural ways to minister to the sick, but we are going to follow Mark 16, 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick. And what happens? They shall recover. What shall they do? Recover. Doesn't say that all of them will be instantly healed. Sometimes healing is instant, sometimes it's progressive. But it comes. When I met Ruth in 1977 and she was virtually an invalid on her back, I laid hands on her and prayed for her and I said, now keep the plug in. Stay with your plug into God's power outlet. And I said, the way to keep the plug in is keep thanking Him until the healing is completed. That was in June. She kept the plug in till November, and in November her healing was instantly completed. She had a ruptured disc in her spine and a spine that had been curved from childhood. Now she has no ruptured disc and she has a straight spine. But But she didn't get an instant miracle. She got a progressive work. Jesus says they shall recover, but he doesn't say how long it will take. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Praise God, but not always. Some of you will be instantaneously healed. Some of you will get a healing that begins. If it begins, keep your plug in. If you say, as you walk out of the auditorium, I didn't get healed, nothing happened, do you know what you've done? Pull the plug out, and nothing more will happen after that. If you say, they laid hands on me, God touched me, I'm going to keep thanking him till it's complete. It'll be complete. Now, the way we're going to do it, and it's rather difficult. Oh, let me just check something out first. Of all the people in this auditorium, how many of you here tonight would wish to be prayed for? Well, you see that, brothers? We've got a busy evening ahead of us. I told you it would be like that. All right. Well, we're going to do our best. More than our best, we cannot do. Ruth and I are here to minister to you, and we have 7 other teams, either couples or threesomes, all of them called to the ministry with proven ministries and anointed of God. And they and we together are going to minister to the sick by the laying on of hands. We're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. Now, this is not going to be a counseling session. So don't come with your life story or even a medical history. All we want to know is arthritis, a weak heart, a bladder infection, I can't have children, menstrual cramps, whatever it is. Try and say it in one short sentence. After all, we're not going to heal you, God is. And God knows your problem even before you state it. Come with this attitude that in coming to these ministers of the Lord, I'm obeying God's word, I'm doing what he told me to do, and I'm not looking to Brother Prince and Ruth or to any of the other teams for my healing. I'm looking through them to Jesus, who told them to lay hands on the sick. Please don't focus on human personalities, because they can't do much for you when it comes to healing. Jesus can do everything. Now we're going to seek to maintain an atmosphere of prayer and worship. If you're a child of God, I don't want you to be just a spectator. I want you to be prayerfully involved. Have the same attitude as if it was your brother or your sister or your parent who's up here being prayed for. And we will, with the help of our worship leaders, from time to time, have periods of praise and worship. We've learned by experience that in an atmosphere of worship, it is much easier for people to receive healing. So please let there be no spectators. Don't any of you get involved in a lot of idle conversation with your neighbors. Although the preaching is coming to an end, the real part of the service is beginning. And we are not too time conscious. If you need to leave at any time, feel free to go without embarrassment. But we're going to go on as long as we feel God would have us to continue. Usually speaking, including the teaching, it's very rare that our healing services last less than 5 hours. We've had some that lasted 8 hours. And let me tell you, that's very short by comparison with those of Jesus, because some of his lasted 3 days. We Pakehas, we've got the wrong attitude about time. Is that right? God, I can give you 10 minutes. What can you do for me in that? Well, that's between you and God. All right, now, could we begin to get the platform lined up, move the chairs to the back? And before we actually begin to minister, those of us who are in these teams, we're going to unite in the center of the platform, join hands with one another and invoke the anointing of God upon us. And by that act, we're going to acknowledge that we can do nothing of our own selves. It's only by the grace and the power of God. We can remove the pulpit. It's a beautiful pulpit. I'm grateful for it. Now, am I still audible? I am. Wonderful. All right, could we gather those of us that are going to be in the initial teams? Would you be with your team partners? We'll join hands. I probably need to be at this side so I can look at the people. Let's leave that part open so the people can see us. You have a word of knowledge? We'll do this first. Okay. All right, now we're just going to humble ourselves before God. In fact, I believe it would please God if we would kneel down before you all and simply say, God, we're putting ourselves at your disposal. Amen. Let's each of us just pray and cast ourselves upon the mercy of God. Thank you. Oh God, we present ourselves before you now as your servants and your handmaidens. Lord, we acknowledge that there is nothing in ourselves. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your Holy Spirit. Blessed Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you, the third person of the Godhead, the one who holds the key to the storehouse. We just submit and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We invoke the Spirit of God into this whole auditorium and upon this entire congregation. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come amongst us. Reveal and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch the people of God. Manifest the mercy of God tonight. The victory that was won by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that victory over sin and over sickness and over demon powers be manifested through us here tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you'd kind of line up from one end to the other in your teams, just as separate entities. Now, we're going to need the help of our ushers. The ushers have got a very responsible task here. We're not going to call you forward by categories. We're going to say that those of you who want prayer will come forward. Don't move yet. And listen, I want you to be very cooperative with the ushers and with me. One thing we have learned by experience: if people become disorderly and disrespectful of the Holy Spirit, he moves elsewhere. And if the Holy Spirit moves, we might as well close this meeting, because without him, nothing is going to happen. The more you cooperate with the leadership, the more you please the Holy Spirit. But before we begin this general ministry, I'm going to call my wife forward. God has given her a word of knowledge about someone here tonight, a specific condition. Now, God does this to create faith and to encourage the person who may be indicated, because God wants to show you that he loves you so much. He's pinpointed your particular need tonight. He's going to show you that he knows it without your telling him. And if you are the person, we invite you to come forward. In response, right as soon as the description is given, we will pray for you. Come forward expecting to be healed. Let me give it just an example. We were in England about a year ago, and it was not a healing service. It was just a morning church service. But before I began to speak, Ruth said, I have a word of knowledge. She said, and then, you know, knowing my British people, I said to them, now listen, don't get stuck in your seat. Don't be embarrassed. Don't wait. If you're the one, come up. Don't let Satan hold you back. Well, Ruth then said, there's somebody here who this morning who's afraid she's going blind in one eye. Well, there was an Indian lady in her sari in the second row, and before Ruth was halfway through the sentence, she was up on the platform. She said, that's me. She said, that's the only reason I came, because I'm afraid I'm going blind. I said, are you a Christian? She said, I'm a pure Hindu. But that was the only way God could have got that woman. You see then? All right, now, can you speak into that? We probably need another microphone available somewhere in due course.
The person that God has showed me has a blocked right ear. Now, I don't know if this person is deaf. I was going to say it's a man past youth. Come up, yes.
That's a tactful description.
Well, I knew the man was middle-aged.
All right. Come right up. Ushers, if he needs help, just help him up. Now, one of you ushers, just be here as a catcher in case anything happens, would you? You know the Lord Jesus?
I do.
You do. Are you serving him and living for him?
I am.
How long have you had this blockage in your ear?
3 years.
All right. Are you believing now that God's going to touch you?
I believe that the Lord can heal me.
Yes, thank you, Father. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we release him. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you have difficulty in hearing this one?
Yes.
It was your right ear?
Yes. This ear.
That's the right ear. Say what you hear.
I can hear you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, David.
You're hearing a whisper. How do you feel about that?
Amanda.
We praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you.